Our final presenter for this morning's Consumer Hort Master Gardener session is Annette Wislocki. Mm-hmm. I was so worried about the last name, I didn't get the first name.
Well, good morning, everyone. My talk is a little bit of a departure because I'm taking those residential and consumers and potentially turning them into growers who are going to make money from what they're doing. So this is a train the trainer program that we started at the University of Tennessee for folks that are just interested in beginning growing. And this is a collaborative project with several different departments. We have folks from our Center for Profitable Agriculture, as well as from Ag Econ and Food Science. And so it's really an interdisciplinary work that we put together. So as we all know, the demand for local produce is growing, and with that we need the growers to produce that food, and that demand is often greater than the supply that we have. The average age of the U.S. farmer is 55. In Tennessee we're actually a little higher than that, it's about 58. And so what we're finding is we really need to find that next generation that's going to provide this food. There's a lot of interest in this area. I have more and more calls every year of people that say, hey, I just bought this land. I need somebody to come and farm it. Do you have anybody that you know that can come and farm it for me? So it's an interesting time, and we're trying to provide some of those beginning growers. So the objective of this project was to develop a 10-part workshop series that was delivered in a train-the-trainer format through our county agents to provide potential growers with business planning and management, agricultural production, food safety and marketing tools that they need to properly plan and carry out a farming venture. So our potential impact, of course, is to increase the number of market growers in Tennessee, to stimulate interest in farming, and to preserve some of our family farms. The unwritten potential impact is we'll also have folks that do not become growers, and that's a great outcome, not one that we usually brag about, but not everyone is cut out to be a grower, and we want them to know that, and we would rather say after they take this class, ooh, this is not for me, than to get into it and fail. So that's another potential impact. So the original concept for this started as part of our internship program, which began in 2009, and it was originally funded by stimulus funds. And we started an internship program then with 5 interns a year that have a 1-acre market garden on our organic farm, and then they take that produce and they sell it at the UT Farmers Market right on campus. So this program, we started sprouting growers in conjunction with the internship, so we would expose our growers to other beginning growers and they could network, and we could also share some of that curriculum between the internship program and the beginning growers program. It started out as a 6-part series, and it was only offered in Knoxville, and we ran it for 2 years, and it was very successful. Lots of our beginning growers became vendors at our farmers market, and they found that was a great way to continue networking with each other. And then we had a lot of demand for expansion of the program, both in the course content, but also geographically. So I would get agents saying, hey, can you come and do this in West Tennessee? Can you come and do this in Northeast Tennessee? And Tennessee, as you're probably aware, is a pretty long state, so it's 8 hours from one end to the other. And so we wanted to figure out a way where we could deliver that more efficiently. So we start out with business planning, and this one is often one I think that gets overlooked with beginning growers because they think, oh, if I plant a seed, it'll all be great and rosy. And so the business planning really kind of wakes them up and they go, ooh, there's a lot to think about with this. So with business planning, we kind of hit the ground running and we talk about the things that they'll offer, both the location that they might do that from, whether it's a roadside stand, do they have the right location to do something like that, or do they need to travel to a city center or a market. Their legal structure, and that's a big one that a lot of people don't think about. Do they want to do an LLC? Do they want to organize it in some other way? Then just their operational procedures, their personnel, as well as their accounting and legal information, insurance and financial data. So this one kind of has their head swimming after just the first class, but we do that intentionally to get them thinking. Then we get into more of the agricultural production, and we start with production planning on this one because we would like to have them really have a well thought out plan before they dive into this as well. So we talk a lot about site selection, a lot about crop scheduling, a lot about rotation, seed selection, and their overall farm design. Then we move on to marketing. As they say, you shouldn't plant a seed until you have a market for it. So that's another important one that we throw in early. And Megan Brew is our marketing person. She introduces the different options for direct marketing. And in this course, we actually discourage CSAs for our beginning growers, just because there's so much involved with the CSA that we want them to get the basics down first, maybe sell it to market for several years before they try to tackle a CSA. And then she helps them develop a marketing plan. So looking at their strategy, their market analysis, their customer service, and she also provides tips for marketing their farm image. And she has some great booths. She has some plastic fruits that she comes and she sets up her display and talks about all the different things involved there. Next, we move on to transplant production. For folks that are going to be growers, growing their own transplants really makes a lot of sense. And if you've never grown transplants before, this is quite a learning curve. So we go through choosing the supplies for those, the fertility requirements, the light requirements, and then some of the potential challenges that you run into growing transplants. Small fruit is one that we added in our 10-part instead of the 6-part, and our fruit specialist has worked with us to include small fruit. This is an area of greatly growing interest for folks. And again, we cover things like site preparation, variety selection, pruning, maintenance, and weed, disease, and insect control on the small fruits. Then we have a session, one each, on cool and warm season vegetable production. The content is very similar, just for the differences in the crops. So we talk about crop selection of those, planting dates, variety selection, the spacing, other production tips, and pest control as well. And then season extension. I was over in the season extension earlier this morning, and this is an area that we continue to see growth in with the NRCS program, offering people a portion of a tunnel, and then through our Department of Agriculture, we have a high tunnel cost share as well. So people in Tennessee can actually get a high tunnel for free as of right now. And so we're seeing a lot of interest in high tunnel production, and that's a whole different learning curve than growing out in the field. So we talk about introductions to all types of season extension, mulching, high and low tunnels, and then the design features of those, and then going into the crop selection, planting dates, and how that all differs in a tunnel versus an open field situation. Food safety, we save this one to near the end because it's one that's not a very popular topic, but it's very necessary, especially if you're getting into a commercial growing situation. But this really helps people assess the risks on their farm and helps them to mitigate those risks. And then we help them create a farm food safety plan. We know that with the Food Safety Modernization Act, most of these people will be exempt, more than likely, when it comes out. But we still want them to have those basics in food safety and be aware. When I talk to any grower, no matter if they're selling $5 or $500,000, they don't know what they're doing wrong until they sit in the class and go, ooh, we thought that was okay. And once they see it, it really clicks. So we want them to have that basic knowledge in food safety. Lastly, we do harvest and handling. This is another one where folks might not have as much experience as with other areas. So we talk about proper harvesting, when to harvest, what time of day, and then cooling, which crops you really want to get the heat out of. We talk about chilling injury. We talk about which crops you might want to wash, which crops you don't want to get water on, and then storing the produce and packaging. We talk about economical ways to make a cooler on your farm using a cool bot and all those good things. So really give them a basic understanding of what it takes to be a grower. This is by no means an exhaustive course because it is 10 sessions. But it does give them a good foundation. So the components of each one of these modules, we give a notebook to our trainers that has narrated slides in there for them. So this is an example of one of those narrated slides. They also have all of this on a USB so they can print things at their leisure. Then we have grower handouts for their sessions to print for their growers. This is an example of the food safety talk. Then we also have pre and post tests to measure their knowledge gain. So within each test, and this one is again the food safety, so GAPS, what does it stand for? And it's multiple choice, and we have 10 questions for each one of these modules so we can really measure if they're gaining knowledge throughout the course or not. And then of course we give the agents answer keys just in case we had anything tricky. Okay. So we're pilot testing this series starting this fall. In February of this year, we trained 30 agents to deliver the program through our agent in-service. And in the fall, in September, we'll have two workshops, one carried out in Northeast Tennessee and another one in north central Tennessee. So we're looking forward to that. Right now, we're thinking, and the agents seem to like this idea, that they're going to charge $100 if somebody signs up for the whole series, and then they're going to charge $15 for each individual workshop if people just want to pick and choose what they attend. And we'll have a resource notebook for all the attendees as well, so they'll have all this information. It'll also have more hands-on information while they're in the class. Each session will last 2 to 3 hours, depending on the topic and the content. So, with that, I'd be happy to take any questions. Yes?
So, if those attending just the $15 session and not the whole series, will they still get the notebook?
No, they would get the material for that particular session, just that session. Yeah. They can't get the notebook for $15. Yes?
How long are the classes?
They're 2 to 3 hours, depending on the topic.
Who are the trainers that are going to? Mostly agents?
Or? Mostly agents, yeah. Because with this train-the-trainer format, we had our specialists do the narrated slides, and then the agents have really embraced the idea of where people have strengths or a passion for a particular area, they're picking that up. And we have county clusters that do these together, which has been a very successful model. So in the one in north central Tennessee, it's actually 9 counties that are getting together to put this on. So if they find one more person to do a talk, there's their 10 presenters between those 9 counties. We do have some specialists that'll travel. I'll travel to do some of them, especially during the pilots, to see how they go. And our fruit specialist is going to do quite a few of them, and so some of the specialists will be involved.
Any other questions? Thank you, Annette.
Thank you.